Welcome to the Getting Comfy with Christ podcast. Getting Comfy with Christ is a space for imperfect people seeking a perfect Savior. Together, we'll explore what it looks like to grow from our mistakes, stay rooted in God's Word, and discover the comfort that comes from truly knowing Jesus Christ. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Getting Comfy with Christ. I'm your host, Bella Sanders, and I am so excited that you're here with me. If you are watching on YouTube, you can see that we have a little guest with us today. Emmy is my soul dog, and that is why she is in the logo that I have posted on my social media. I just figured she loves to sit in my lap, so I was like, she might be in my lap for some of these episodes, even though right now she is not too happy that mom is making her sit in her lap. So she's probably going to jump down. Yep, she's going to jump down. She's had enough. Alrighty, guys. So let's get into it. We have officially made it halfway through the week. It is Wednesday. In this episode, we are going to dive into what it truly means to love like Jesus. We kind of covered this last week with some of the verses from scripture, but I want to elaborate more on the selfless and sacrificial aspect of it. And you may be thinking, okay, Bella, how do I actually get comfortable with loving people like God has called me to do, especially when people really don't make it easy on you? And I completely understand that. But the first verse that comes to mind whenever I am thinking about selfless and sacrificial love is Ephesians 5:21 through like 30, somewhere around there. And we're going to actually read that scripture today. For those of you that have read this scripture before, you're probably rolling your eyes like, oh my gosh, here comes that scripture again, that tricky word submission that I cannot stand. Well, don't worry, I completely understand, but we are going to take a new angle on it today. And if you are not married, I still want you to stick around because this definitely is something that you need to hear now so that way you can understand it when you do eventually get married, or you're going to be better prepared, at least better prepared than I was. This part of my testimony I do want to share with you guys because I feel like it is very vital information to what we're going to talk about. Me and my husband actually met when I was a freshman in college, and we were both not ready to be in a relationship, for a lack of better terms. I was focused on chasing a career. He was focused on chasing his and kind of just having fun, and we were both having fun. Then we both actually end up getting in different relationships, and those relationships end at the exact same kind of time period, and we end up seeing each other again, and we were basically inseparable ever since then. My husband had me wrapped around his finger probably from the first time I ever met him. So when I saw him again, I was like, my gosh, he's so cute. He's so this, and he's so manly. And like, I was just like head over heels for my husband. We're only dating for 6 months, and we decided to get eloped and not tell any of our family members. Nick's parents didn't know. And mind you, I had only met them one other time before this. I met his dad twice, and I met his mom once, and that was on Thanksgiving. And the funny part about that is I had this like white sweater. I'm going a little off topic, but we'll draw in. I got this white sweater for Thanksgiving because I wanted to look nice. So, you know, like this was the first time I was meeting his mom. I had met his dad one time before then, but it was the first time I was meeting Nick's mom. And I got this white sweater from the Storm Burleson, and it had a hole in it because it had like a snag. And so I had like pulled it and it had this hole in it. And so the only memory that my mother-in-law had of me before I was married to her son was this girl that showed up in a white sweater on Thanksgiving with a hole in it that she helped me sew and fix at Thanksgiving. So the second time I saw her again, I was married to her son. So when we got married, we didn't know what we had gotten ourselves into, but we were head over heels in love with each other. Want to get married. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. It's just like that. You just know, right? I was very independent and I was very career driven, which I kind of talked about the last episode. I had prepared to go to law school, got an internship with a lawyer as soon as I got to college, got my degree in accounting because I thought like that would look good on a resume for law school. I was doing like networking, going to like events at the law school that I could go to as an undergraduate. I was doing all kinds of things. Like I was just very career driven. I was always working two jobs to pay for my stuff. I didn't like my parents paying for my stuff. I was just very, very driven and very independent. And that was something that my parents raised me to be. And it's not that there was anything wrong with that, but I came from a home where my mom mom was a single mom. My dad also was raising daughters, and they thought the best thing was to raise us to be independent, to take care of ourselves, which, yes, to an extent, you do need to take care of yourself. But we were never taught what it is like to be a wife, or what your role is when you're going to be a wife, what self-sacrificing love is, and what submission looks like. We were not taught any of those things. So those were all very foreign to me. So the reason that I say this is part of my testimony, me and Nick got married, and literally like about 6 months in, we are fighting. We are not seeing eye to eye on a lot of things. There's things I want him to change. There's things he wants me to change. You know, it's like we got married and so everything got so serious, and it caused us to have so many arguments. I mean, you would have thought like things were so great. We got married and everything got worse. Everything's going south. Like, we're already talking about divorce. We're already talking about maybe we made a mistake, and I am like heartbroken. This is when I start kind of getting a relationship with my mother-in-law, and she's inviting me to come to church with them. She got this amazing, beautiful Bible for me. Even though I had given my life to Christ a long time ago, I had stopped actively following him. I mean, I had gone probably almost my entire high school life and college life without speaking to God up until this point. Now, at this point, I was a senior in college. And so I start going to church with her, and she tells me about this book called The Four Laws of Love. Thank you, Jesus, for putting that in my path, because Jesus is always looking out for me. Even when I wasn't actively pursuing him, he is such a great God. He's so graceful. He's so good to us. Because even when I wasn't actively pursuing him for all of that time, he still put Nick in my path, my mother-in-law in my path, that book in my path, which led me to this book. And, you know, that book had so many great scriptures about marriage and self-sacrificing love. And this Ephesians verse that we're going to read together, he touches on in there. So me and Nick are at this really hard point with our marriage. And I basically am so upset that I start surrendering it to God. And I just like started praying like, God, I'll do whatever it takes. Like, I just want you to save my marriage. Like, I don't want to live my life without Nick. I know that you brought us together for a reason. I will do whatever it takes, pretty much. Like, I'm surrendering this to you. I need your help. I can't do it without you. And after that, I started actively pursuing God. Nick started actively pursuing God. It just started bleeding into all these areas of our lives. I started focusing on what I needed to fix, and instead of focusing on what Nick needed to fix. And so it started bleeding into all this other stuff in a good way. That's kind of part of my testimony on why this pertains to what I want to talk about. We are going to go ahead and read this scripture now that I've rambled on about my life for 10 minutes. We are going to read this scripture, and and in Ephesians 5:21, if you're watching on YouTube, get comfy, get your Bibles out. If you're listening on audio, get comfy, get your Bibles out. If you're busy, don't worry. I'm going to read the scripture. And for YouTube watchers, the scripture is going to be on the screen. So starting at 5:21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband, to your own husbands, I apologize, as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with... I am struggling today. Cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. I'm going to stop there, because the verses after that are also very important if you want to keep on reading, but I'm going to stop there. I think a lot of people today read this word submit, and they automatically put in their mind all of these negative things that are not associated, in my opinion, with submission. Submission is not a doormat, and submission is not domination. There's a reason why Paul use the word submit instead of domination or dominate. There's a very big distinction between submission and domination, or being dominant. So the definition of submission is the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. Now, the definition of dominate is having a commanding influence on or exercise control over. So those are two very different definitions. One has an aspect of control, and the other one, it says the action or fact of accepting or yielding. It's a choice. Submission is a choice. We're going to come back to verse 21, but we're going to start dissecting verse 22. So, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. So I want you to think of the word head as like leader. Your husband is your leader. Submission is all about looking for a leader and willing to follow a leader. That's all that it's about. It's not about being a doormat. It's about willing to follow leadership. You have to be willing to follow a leader. Just like you're willing to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and your leader on what you're going to do here in this world, you need to be willing to follow your husband and let him lead you. And I want to compare this to an analogy that I thought of because, you know, I was a very career-driven girl. When we work for a company, we actively trust in our boss's leadership. We trust that when he gives us assignments, that they are going to contribute to the success of the company when he's delegating. That's the word I was looking for. When he's delegating out tasks to your coworkers and yourself, you trust that they're for the betterment of the company. You trust that when you go to work, you're going to be paid for the time and effort that you're putting in, right? So you are trusting and submitting to your boss's leadership. But here's the question I want to challenge you with. If you can submit to your boss every single day when you go to work and listen to him and like trust his leadership when it's someone you don't really know. And when I say you don't really know them, it's not someone that you have an intimate like family or love relationship with. Why do we struggle so much to submit in relationships that actually do matter more? And they matter, in my opinion, far more than our jobs and our careers. And I can already hear what some of you are going to say when I bring this up. You're going to give me this list of, well, you know, my work is just easier. My role and my paycheck is guaranteed. And my relationship is complicated. Okay, relationships are complicated, but that's also why they matter so much more. God doesn't call you to love the easy people or to love easily. He calls you to love the unlovable. You might be thinking, at work, I don't have to be vulnerable. You know, I'm just going to work and going through my day. It's not like I have to open my heart or it's risky. And I completely understand where that comes from because I talked about suffering with vulnerability. But that is something that God wants us to work on, because if we can't be vulnerable with our spouses or our family members or whoever is close in our circle, we can't be vulnerable with God. Now, my final thought on this analogy and something that I really want you to consider, because it's something that I had to consider as well. Your workday ends at 5 p.m. and you work a career for maybe, 20 to 30 years until you retire. Your marriage and your family and your close friendships and relationships have eternal value to them, and they are eternal investments. They matter, in my opinion, a whole lot more than the company you work for. Loving your neighbor and loving God more than anything in the world are the two most important commandments that Jesus calls us to follow. And your career and job are important, but they don't fall in those two categories. When you're thinking about how can I sacrificially love better, whether it's with friendships, family, your spouse, you need to think about where those priorities are falling. And I definitely had to think about that. Me and Nick have struggled with that as well, because, you know, Nick is working all day long and he's so tired, and he comes home and I'm ready to talk to him and he's like, I'm so tired, I don't want to talk, you know, like all my talking tokens are gone for the day and like ready to talk. I haven't talked to anybody all day. But sacrificially, we both had to learn that, okay, Nick comes home, we talk for 15, 20 minutes, and then we relax. I know that I'm going to get those 15, 20 minutes whenever he gets home. And he knows that we're not going to talk for an hour. We're only going to talk 15, 20 minutes. It's just those like sacrificial things that you have to think about and say to yourself, hey, what is something that I can do for my spouse, regardless of how it's going to make me feel? Okay, so I want to go back to verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So when I first read this, I was like, why did Paul put that there? Because we have all this other stuff down here from 22 to 30 that talks about submission and submission and submission. So why are we putting another sentence about submission here? And I think that this is here because it applies to everyone. It doesn't just apply to husbands and wives. It applies to everyone that is not married, because this obviously further down below, it specifically addresses husband and wife. But up here, this is saying, hey, everyone needs to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For my single people, this verse speaks specifically to you guys. If you're submitting to, or if you're struggling to submit to God now, it's definitely going to be something that you struggle with when you're in a marriage, because you are going to have to submit to your husband. And, you know, I don't say that to say that women are less than your husbands. No, what I'm saying is there's a reason God designed it this way. There's a reason it works. There's a like my mother-in-law and father-in-law have been an amazing testimony for me and Nick to see. And I pray that you guys have good examples of that as well, of a marriage that has put God first and how it's flourished, and they've been married for a long time, and how they can continue to have such a great marriage the more that time goes on. What I'm saying, to tie back into all of that, is there's a reason that it's designed this way. And there's a reason that God calls us to submit to our husbands and calls our husbands to love us in a certain way. I mean, there's a ton of detail down here about how they're supposed to love us. So for my single people, I just want you to remember or think about that. You know, if you're practicing submission with the Lord now, that's so great. And I'm so happy for you. Continue to do it, because then whenever you get married, it's not going to feel like a foreign concept to you like it did to me. Now, one thing that I want to touch on before we move on to dissecting 25 through 30 is now it's verse 24. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit their husbands to their husbands and everything. Now, when I read that word everything, again, reading your Bibles with intention, why is that word there? Why did they put that there? I was like, everything? Like, everything? You mean like not 50%, not 20%? Like, I have to submit everything? God was like, yeah, Bella, everything. You have to submit everything. I'm like, oh no, this is so foreign to me. And so I want to touch on kind of what this everything meant, at least when I read it and thought about it. I came up with that the why is because you cannot halfway follow a leader. When your husband's trying to lead you, you can't halfway submit to him, because then you're kind of in the same boat you were when you weren't submitting to him to begin with. Now, it's different if you're trying to submit to him and you're just kind of messing up now and then. That's okay. We make mistakes. But what I'm saying is you can't say, okay, yeah, I'm going to submit to my husband with just our finances, and everything else I'm still not going to trust his leadership in. That doesn't work, because then you're still divided. There's still division in your relationship. And that's the same thing for single people. You should be submitting to the Lord in everything. So if you're only submitting to him your finances, but you're not submitting to him your career or anything, well, then you're not submitting to him fully. And you can't fulfill your full purpose that the Lord has set for you when you're only submitting 25%, 50%. 75%. It needs to be 100%. I just want to remind you guys, even though we are submitting everything to our husbands, we're submitting every aspect of our lives to them, let's not equate submission with blind obedience or the idea that your husband is better or more important than you, because that's definitely not true. And we're not submitting to our husband's leaderships because they're more important than us. We both have very, very vital and important roles in the church. And as Christians, it's about God's design and his order for unity. It's about that God designed it a specific way for a reason. And at the end of the day, we are going to get a whole lot further when we are listening to what God wants us to do versus when we're doing what we want to do. Now, I want to be like very, very, very clear on this. When the Bible talks about submission, it never is an okay for abuse, control, or neglect. Again, submission is not domination. It's not a controlling term. There's a reason it says submission and not domination in the Bible. God's design for marriage is built on love and respect. Husbands are commanded to love their wives as Christ has loved. And submission only works when both parties are actively walking in God's truth. Anything outside of that is not a part of God's design. So I wanted to make that very clear. For the husbands that may be listening to this and are getting way too comfortable about what we have talked about with the wives, we are going to read what Paul says to you guys in this passage. And in my opinion, I think Paul goes a little bit heavier on you guys. Let's dissect starting at 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleaning her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So husbands are called to lead through self-sacrificing love. The kind of love that lays itself down just like Jesus did for us. And as a wife has to submit, a husband has to die. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't mean literally, obviously. What this is saying here is husbands need to kill their desires. Their wife's needs need to come before theirs. And his personal desire should not be put above his wife. So that's what I mean where a husband has to die. His personal desires need to not be above his wife's. And then, you know, following on that, from verses 26 and 27, Paul paints a picture here on how a husband is supposed to cherish his wife. You're supposed to uplift her, speak God's word into her life, speak God's truth into her life, not to tear her down, but to build her up. Now, how may you do that, you might ask? Well, I highly recommend reading the five love languages and figuring out what your partner's love language is and tending to whatever that love language may be. It's a fantastic book. You can read it on audiobook. My husband loves to read audiobooks. He doesn't like to read physical books. So ladies or husbands, if you're watching, maybe try audiobooks. He listens to it on his way to work or when he has a long drive instead of having to like physically read a book. I would definitely recommend when you're trying to build your wife up, at least for me personally, like I love words of affirmation. I love when Nick tells me that I look pretty, or I love like quality time. Quality time is my number one. And so Nick knows that that 15 minutes or 20 minutes that we spend talking, that is where I feel love because he's taking an effort and time to spend time with me. What I love about this entire passage to kind of wrap up, I love that Paul paints a picture of how we should be doing this with referencing it back to what Christ has done for us. It ties all together so beautifully because we're submitting to Jesus's leadership maybe in other parts of our Bible that we've read. So Paul paints a picture here. He's like, well, as Christ has done this for you, you should be doing this for your spouse. You say, why? Why does God want us to do that? Because marriage is a living symbol of Christ and the church. The way that you love and treat other people, especially if you're representing yourself as a Christian and you're representing yourself as a follower and lover of Jesus Christ, the way that you treat people is going to speak volumes. My mother and father-in-law, watching them love each other and watching how they treat each other and watching how God has been at the center of their marriage just shows me that, number one, it is possible, and number two, that there's a reason why this is set in stone, the reason why this works. So I just love the picture that Paul paints for us back to what Christ has done and Christ's leadership. And to me, it ties all together as in, if you can submit to Christ, you should be submitting to your husbands, or you should be submitting to other people and putting other people's needs before your own. And I want to close out with, I have firsthand understood how hard that this concept can be, selfless love and submitting, because I was completely raised to do the opposite. And if you're struggling with this, I really want to encourage you to pray about it. And I really want to encourage you to ask God to help you with this and to not try to handle it by yourself. I think a lot of us that struggle with submission and struggle with being maybe far too independent, we don't rely on God to help us with these problems. We don't rely on the Lord to give us strength for these problems. And we feel like we have to carry it all by ourselves. And we don't. The Lord is there for us, and he is there for you, and he loves you, and he wants to be there for you. And he wants to help you through those problems. Surrender everything to him and ask him for help because he wants to help you. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can get through it, or you're going to definitely get through it with the Lord on your side. If the Lord is fighting for you, which he is, you can get through anything with him by your side. A step towards the direction of learning how to selflessly love like Jesus, I think selfless love and submission definitely kind of go hand in hand. I want to challenge you to try to maybe, if you're not married, to submit something to the Lord this week. Maybe something that you haven't been submitting, whether it's your finances, your career, a relationship that you're in. I really want to challenge you to submit something to the Lord. I want you to pray to him and say, Lord, this is something that I'm struggling with, and I just submit this to you, God, and I trust you, and I know that you are going to persevere and take care of me, whatever the case may be. Now, if you're married and you're a wife, I want you to try to think about some area that maybe you're not submitting to your husband's leadership in. Husbands, I want you to do the same for your wives. I want you to think of an area that you are lacking in. And if you can't think of it and you're like, oh, well, I'm not lacking in any areas, trust me, there's always something that we can get better at. That's not the attitude to have, because that was the attitude that I had. I have really enjoyed our time here. I hope this message has really touched you, and I hope the Lord has put something on your heart, or maybe put something in your mind with the message that I've shared today. I definitely want to challenge us to get better and be more comfortable with Christ. And I think a good way to get comfortable with him is to start loving sacrificially and definitely start submitting in those areas that he wants us to. So until next time, I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. I will see you on Friday.
Thanks for spending time with me here on Getting Comfy with Christ. I have new episodes every Wednesday and Sunday at 6 p.m. Until next time, stay rooted and comfy in Christ.